Sci-Fi Party Line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Hanako.
What's up, girl?
Nothing much. Today, we're going to talk about True Blood.
Yay.
I haven't had you
in a while.
I know. But we got to catch up on it. I had Lynn on here, and we talked about it briefly, but I always like when we get together because we have... we've been doing True Blood forever. So yeah. I wanted to, for some reason, the first few episodes were kind of boring me. And so I don't really have anything to talk about. But these latest two episodes, they've been killing it.
Yeah, it's gotten interesting. You know, I actually had to turn my cable off for a while. So I've actually been like catching up via, you know, like Hulu and Netflix and other means, and,
right,
you know, watching from people. So I just got caught up on True Blood, and I'm like, it's all over the place this season. I mean, it's good, but it's kind of weird too.
Yeah, I was getting that feeling too, like, what is going on? First we had the weird year jump in time, and then it's just like last season they ended every episode was ending with a shocker, you know? And now they're just kind of ending with, all right, there you go.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's just weird. It's weird. And I mean, I think I was on the episode with you and Lynn earlier because we were talking about, we talked about the year-long, the year that was missing and how that was kind of a departure from what they usually do. And it just seemed kind of weird to see, you know, Suki, you know, she was kind of feeling lost because everybody else had moved on. And, you know, she was kind of stuck in, okay, well, I've only been gone 15 minutes. So that was kind of weird. But now just, I guess, getting back to the routine of things and seeing where things are going. It's just, I don't know. This stuff is, you know, it's weird, but it's good. And it's really different.
Let's take it case by case basis. First, I want to go with Jason and Jessica.
That's an interesting development, although I'm kind of shocked given Jason's history that he didn't try for Jessica sooner because, okay, let's be honest, she's way hotter than Crystal is.
Yeah. God, Crystal. Ugh.
Yeah. But, you know, I think it's kind of, I kind of like the fact that, you know, even though Jason is, you know, he is the town horn dog, that he does have a few scruples about him because when Jessica came to him, he was like, oh, no, I don't want part of this. I revoke your invitation to my house. Get out. I can't deal with this. So I like the fact that he has a little bit of common sense about him because, you know, let's be honest, for the past four seasons, Jason hasn't been the most, you know, intelligent of Bon Temps resident.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, he showed a little class in this, so I was kind of...
Well, in that instance, not when he kissed her earlier, but I mean, can he actually help it? Because he has the blood and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and I think that kind of has to do with it too, the fact that he has Jessica's blood, and you know, I've always thought that was part of the reason why there was the attraction between Suki and Eric even in the book. So I don't know, I guess we'll see once he gets that out of his system, you know, and it's not as, the bond is not as strong, I guess we'll see for real whether or not that there's truly a genuine attraction for him or whether he's just being Jason. But I think right now Jason has a lot more to deal with. Because even though he didn't shift into the Werepanther like he thought he would, he's still going to have to deal with that community of Hotshot and what they did to him.
Oh, yeah. Well, I totally forgot about them. And I thought, I was kind of glad we took a break from them because I was getting tired of the raggedy, whatever was going on. It was dirty and nasty and just was
it. And tell Uncle Daddy and that was just, that's a little creepy.
Yeah, so that was a little gross, but I felt a little bit bad for Jessica because she got her invitation revoked twice in one night.
Yeah.
And, you know, she had her initial dream about Hoyt, that he was going to be sitting in, you know, a wife beater crying about how she broke up with him and broke his heart. But then once he said, she told him in reality.
Yeah, Hoyt like manned up.
Well, he manned up and he said some very hurtful things. I mean, he like basically became his mom.
Yeah, which was in some ways it was kind of good to see Hoyt standing up for himself, but at the same time, it was kind of bad to see when he chose to do that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, okay, she was being honest. She didn't want to lead him on, this, that, and the other. And he just, but I mean, he reacted the way a lot of people react when, you know, they're in a relationship and they're being broken up with. So I'm sure he's going to have some regrets and we'll get to see that. But yeah, it was weird seeing that too.
Yeah. You know?
We thought Jessica was going to be the one, you know, who was strong, and Hoyt was going to be the wuss, I guess you could say. And it kind of turned out to be the other way around.
Yeah.
And I still want to know what that doll had to do with it. Because I still think that there was something going on with that doll. The fact that, you know, a few episodes ago, they kept saying that, you know, they kept throwing it out, and then all of a sudden it would make its way back to them. That was just, I thought that was
a ghost antics, because we found out who the ghost was and what she wanted and what her motivation was. I think that was just a build up to make, you know, to let people know that the ghost thing was happening. And maybe because they came and they bought the house and then they stirred up the ghost. And once the ghost was stirred up, what the ghost really needed was somebody to latch on to, like a baby. There was no baby in Hoyt's house. So they got with Terry and what's her name?
Arlene,
yes. And so
so the house that they're living in now is the house that used to be hers.
I think
okay now that would make that would make sense. Okay, that makes more sense to me now. So
and so, yeah. You know, they moved the baby's doll to and gave it to, you know, baby Mike, I guess that's his name. And
yeah,
Mike. Yeah. And so I don't think it has anything to do with them anymore because they've kind of passed it on. But now, speaking of the Negress ghost, cause she called herself a Negress girl. Okay. Oh, I haven't heard that since Star Trek when Abe Lincoln showed. Okay, I'm going to stop. Anyway.
Fangirl flashback.
Yeah, stop. she inhabited Lafayette.
So that's going to be interesting because he's now taking baby Michael.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, what are they going to do with this baby? It's like Arlene thought she had Renee's specter to worry about, and turns out it's, you know, it's something totally different. So I'm wondering, you know, is baby Michael is it just the fact that he's a baby that she's latching onto, or does it have to do with the fact that maybe the baby is somehow related to her? Or because now the question is, I want to know who was the man.
The dad,
who was the man that she had the baby by? It's like, we didn't get a name, but obviously he's got to be somebody from town. So it's like, who, you know, what family was it that had this big secret? You know, it's just, I don't know. True Blood is taking a lot of interesting turns.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe there's two ghosts because the baby was murdered and we don't know it. I mean, because the lady appears as she was when she found out that her baby is dead. So did the husband also murder her? You know, So are we dealing with one ghost? Are we dealing with two ghosts? Is she the one writing on the walls? You know, is she the one doing the thing to Arlene's eye, or is it the ghost of the baby? Are they evil? Is she just, you know, hurt and, you know, because she was murdered and she needs to be released? Because, you know, the dad said there would be no burial and there would be no funeral. So if the bones didn't get buried properly, then, you know, there's going to be a poltergeist and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're moving into supernatural territory now. So.
Right.
But yeah, so I don't
know. You're going to have salt on those bones.
Right, and burn. Salt and burn. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it's getting interesting. And I'm really curious to see where they're going to go with that storyline, because a lot of this season now, it has, like they have completely ventured away from the books pretty much. So
right, I've heard that.
Very interesting. It's great to not know what's coming next, because it's like now I really have to sit back and totally separate it, because nothing is the same except for the whole Sookie and Eric relationship, and even that's different in a way because of how that happened, or as far as Eric's circumstances and the whole Debbie Pelt thing, and now see all of that is different. So it's like breathing fresh life into the stories. Although the stories in the book were fun and they were interesting, it's just different to see it, you know, in a visual aspect and the way that they've changed the storyline. It's great. I'm excited. Like, I can't do spoilers because I don't know what's coming up and I don't want to know. I want to be surprised as it comes along. So,
okay, let's get into The Witch Antonia. Does this feel like Marianne all over again with her and Tara?
It kind of does. You know, and I just think Tara just needs to be needed. I think that's just basically what it is for her. And it's like now, you know,
get a dog or something. Jeez.
But I think she's looking for that mother figure. Speaking of which, we're going to have to talk about Lady May.
Oh, Lady May that came up and got buried to the preacher man.
And the look. Okay. Yeah. That little, you know, the cleansing of the house.
Oh, what? It didn't work.
I know. And, you know, it's so funny because what made me laugh is because a few years back I was staying with my mother-in-law and I was sick. I had been sick with migraines for a couple of days. And my sister-in-law is kind of sort of into that type of thing. Uh-oh. So she came and did the same thing in my bedroom, you know, with the little smoke and going into the corners. And
did that make it worse?
You know, it did for me because there was smoke involved, and I can't deal with smoke, especially
right.
Deal with a migraine. But of I course, know. You know, I'm like, you know, I'm not religious in the least, but I'm not gonna knock her for hers. But I just, you know, when I saw that on True Blood, that just made me laugh so hard. I was like, oh my god, I've actually done this before. So,
oh god.
But I'm sorry. Going back to Tara, you know, Tara just she wants a mother figure. That's just basically it. At first, she had Sookie's grand. And then when she died, you know, she latched on to Marianne, and then Marianne turned out to be psycho. And so now she's, you know, I don't think she was actually looking for it, but now this thing has come to her in the form of Antonia, you know, taking her in, helping her get rid of, you know, what she feels like is her issue, is the vampire issue. And it's not that the vampires are the reason Tara's having, you know, that she's having so much luck. She has poor taste. You know, she doesn't make wise decisions, and she ends up putting herself in these situations where she, you know, gets screwed. I mean, it's kind of like Sookie as well. Sookie does the same thing, but Sookie has, I think, more smarts when dealing with the supernatural aspect, whereas Tara is just kind of, you know, okay, I'm trying this. If I don't like it, or if it tries to kill me, okay, I'm going back. I don't think there's any thought pattern behind Tara's motivation. Okay, you know, I'm gonna go with this, and if it doesn't work, okay, then I hate it, I don't like it, and it just she needs to make better decisions here.
I thought, you know, at the beginning she made such a strong entrance at the beginning of this season.
Yeah, right,
she was kicking ass, like, she had a girlfriend, and now same old Tara all over again. She's a little, you know, a little stronger because she'll whip out a gun in a minute, right?
Yes, she's stronger, but she's still kind of sort of the victim.
Right. And like, yeah, I totally agree with you with you saying that she just has bad judgment. And I'm going back to Bontemps was just a mistake for her. And yeah. Her girlfriend found out everything, and she stalked her to Bontemps, and that was weird. But they ended up liking each other, but she sent the girl away, and I thought maybe the girl was going to be evil, or I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there. But
yeah. I think that's the last we've seen of the girlfriend.
You know, they like to throw out a surprise, but if we do see her again, I think she's going to bite the dust, so to speak. think she's going to get dead.
I think Pam might get to her because Bill, you know, Bill gave Pam specific instructions not to touch Terry anymore. He didn't say anything about Terry's girlfriend. So, yeah, I think Pam's going to get her revenge.
Oh, gosh, Pam, she just needs to chill out for a second because she's already having to do vampire Botox. I mean, she still has the curse on her.
Oh, you know, I love Pam, but oh, that's funny. I mean, it just, I don't even know. I feel sorry for her, but at the same time, I don't.
Yeah, because she's kind of minding her own business. The only reason she got involved with this stuff is to protect Eric. If Eric didn't get hurt, she would have been in Fantasia the whole time, and then nobody would hear from her. But she got herself in the middle of it. She got grossed out. It's just disgusting. And I want them to fix it because I'm tired of it. I want regular Pam back.
I know. I need beautiful, bitchy, snarky, you know. But, you know, her line to Lafayette and Jesus and Tara, she was like, if you don't come back in 24 hours, I will bite, fuck, and kill you all. Or something. And it's like, all I could do was stare at the screen like, wow, she really said that. But we hadn't had any really good lines. This is, you know, every season there's always like one particular line or, you know, little bit of dialogue that always sticks out in everybody's mind. And I don't think we really had that.
Well, we had Jason and Jessica's little dream there when they were in the truck. He's like, come to daddy. And I was just like, what?
No. Let me tell you what tripped me out, and I should have known this was coming after the whole Sam and Bill thing. When Jason is having the dream about him and Jessica, and she keeps calling him Hoyt, and he keeps saying Jason, and then next thing,
Hoyt. That was funny.
I had to pause my screen for 5 minutes because that was so not what I was expecting. I mean, it was kind of like the whole Bill and Sam, you know, thing from a couple of seasons.
Right.
You know, it was like that, but the fact that, you know, Jessica was supposed to be like on top of Jason grinding and then all of a sudden it was Hoyt. It was just, that was too hilarious.
And then he woke up out of that real quick.
Yeah, but oh God, when I tell you that was so funny for me.
Another good line, I wrote this one down, is from Andy Belfour. He was on the doing at the crime scene for Beulah Carter because she died, and he was on his hands and knees looking for wanting some V from a dead vampire, and he said Jesus tits and God America. I was like, what does that even mean? I've never heard that before. So those are some good lines, but
yeah, that was funny too. But yeah, that was gross. Andy, okay, I know you're at it, but come on now. Jason was like, okay, you're about to take V from a dead vampire's remains on the ground. Seriously, Andy?
Does that even work? I mean, is it even good? Because it's been sitting there for a long time.
I don't know. It's still pure, so it might still work. He might be a little crazy afterwards.
Yeah, right. But you know, this is interesting. It's like once a human starts the need for V, they kind of behave like vampires because they need vampire blood. So it's kind of a reverse thing that's going on. So, you know how vampires need human blood and they crave it. So a V addict needs V. So what if they go around biting vampires?
You know,
that'd be weird, right? It's just like, I'm human and I need your blood, and I'm gonna go and I'm just there. And it's like, well, what's a human and what's a vampire? I'm scared for Andy, and they're dragging his story a little while. I want him to either get over it or turn to something evil. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I kind of like Andy the way he is. You know, he's like, he's a typical dumb hick, you know, always trying to be, you know, show himself as better than he is and, you know, always being looked down. I kind of like that Andy. You know, he's stupid, but he's comic relief.
Mm.
And I think, you know, deep down inside, he really does have a good heart. And you can see that with different things. You know, when he talked to, you know, his conversation last season after he shot Eggs when Tara, you know, confronted him. You know, the way he just kind of, he broke down and was honest with her. And he was like, you know, it's not something I wanted to do, but this is what happened. You know, you can kind of see that there's a bit of decency, you know, in Andy. But growing up, I guess, as part of the family that he's a part of, it's kind of like that whole, you know, he's the runt of the family. He's, you know, trying to push his way to the top, and he's not good at doing it. So, you know, I kind of feel sorry for him, but I do hope they get off this V kick with him, because he was already annoying before, and Andy on V is just not, you know, he can be comical without the V. I think they're starting to push the V story a little bit too much.
Right. It's entertaining for the first, you know, couple of episodes, but now it's like, let it go or do something else. I don't know. Yeah. And speaking of his family, we had this thing, right? We had this thing where he had a cousin that was in love with Bill, and they, well, not in love, but they had a friends with Benny's, and found out, and they went down the family tree, and Bill found out that the chick was like his great-granddaughter or something.
Great-granddaughter, yeah, like five times removed or something. But yeah, that's actually Andy's sister.
Oh, so Andy is his godson then.
Andy is his great 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 grandson. Yeah. So that was something I knew from the books, but the way they found it out was a little bit different. But I've always known that
Belfour's
descendants of the Comptons. So
does Andy know? It doesn't seem like he knows.
He doesn't know yet. I don't know if they're going to tell him later on in the series, but it's like in the books, they, him, his sister, and the grandmother, they all found out on the grandmother's deathbed.
Oh.
So because Bill was the one who was actually in possession of the family Bible. And I forgot how he found out about it, but that's how it happened in the book. So it's kind of, like I said, kind of different in the show. Speaking of which, oh, I was so glad to see who they got to play the grandmother. I can't
think.
Who
was it? What'd she feel like? Huh?
She was Mona from Who's the Boss.
Yes, she was. Yeah. That's who she was.
She walked in and I just looked. I said, Mona! So, you know, it was good to see her on TV again, because I hadn't seen her in a while. But,
yeah,
that was an interesting twist. But no, I think the really creepy part was the fact that even after knowing, Portia came back at him, you know, started spitting law about how they can still be together and it wouldn't be wrong. I was like, okay, dude, he just told you that he was related to you, even though, okay.
That's how they roll in those small towns, girl. You my cousin, that's okay. Parts still work. Okay, let me stop. I'm offending people, perhaps. So the witch Antonia, she did her thing where she tried to get all the vampires to walk out into the sun. The vampires got silver on them, and, you know, they were prepared. Jessica almost died, and then there's this late night meeting in a graveyard at midnight where it's going to be the vamps versus the witches. That didn't turn out good at all.
No, it didn't. Which those things never do.
Yeah. I thought maybe it would be. But see, they shouldn't have met in like a cemetery, like met in like an office building and sat down at tables and stuff like that. But I don't know. And the thing about Eric, he took the first shot. You remember that? What was that?
Yeah. That was Eric acting impulsively, you know. I guess. I don't know. Because I kind of think Bill may have gone there with good intentions. And of course, the witches weren't going to let that be. Speaking of which, I have to say this, seeing Fiona Shaw in this role is so weird for me.
I know.
Play years and years of you know, magic hating muggle, to see her being this powerful witch, it's
such hilarious.
A good ship for me. But it's great because she's so different. I mean, she plays Marnie as kind of, you know, she's very country, very Southern, and she's kind of meek. But once she gets this spirit in her, it's like her. I mean, literally, you can see it in her facial expressions. Everything just changes.
It does.
Watch. But it's so funny to watch at the same time, too, because, like, if my kids happen to walk past at a time when I'm watching, they're like, "Hi, there's Petunia," and they just keep
going. And she looks so different. It took me a while to realize that was her. It's like, I know her from somewhere. Where do I know her from? Then I looked her up on IMDb, and I still had to check because she looks really different to me.
Yeah. But she's great in this role. I love her in this role. She's great. You know, she's playing two different types of characters, and it's one Southern and the other one is Spanish. It's like, how many? And she's doing them very convincingly. So
yeah, she is. You know. I think that's cool. I liked when Suki had to do the reading and we got to hear Gran again.
Yes. Oh, I love that. It's like, I actually teared up like, oh, she's hearing Gran. And Gran was like, Suki, you need to get out of here. Stay far away from this woman. And she got up and the lady's like, where are you going? She said, lady, I don't know what's wrong with you, but when my Gran tells me to run, I run.
I know.
They're like, what is she talking about? So, you know, Suki may have a few additional problems about that later on because that, you know, she kind of revealed right then, okay, something's not quite right about me. You know, because right. that was stuff that she was here. She was picking it out of Marnie's head. Marnie never said anything out loud. So she may have to deal with that later on.
Maybe. And I really like how this proved that this lady was even, you know, as a regular witch without being inhabited, that she was real. She could actually speak to the dead. And I thought that was interesting because usually when you get these types of people, they're frauds. You can't hear anything. And so Suki actually hearing her grandmother speak to this person, I thought, hey, that's interesting. That they make her real like that. So I enjoyed that a lot. When I talked about Eric, I guess, firing the first shot, did you catch the way Suki looked at him? She was kind of repulsed or confused or I don't know.
Kind of like, okay, did he? It's almost like that instinct that's in him to be cruel and to be on the, you know, I guess on the offensive just automatically came back, and I guess she was kind of looking like, okay, has he been lying to me all this time, or has he been genuine and this is just something that's ingrained him? I mean, it was interesting to watch though.
Yeah.
But I have to say this whole Eric thing, okay, I do like the way that they're doing it, but please bring me back bitchy Eric, or, you know, mean Eric. This puppy dog type Eric, I didn't like him too much in the book either. It's like, I liked him for a little bit, but then after a while, it's kind of like, okay, you know what? I need the Viking back. It's getting to be too much, you know, although I will say the sex scenes are great.
Yeah, it's like I'm a little tired of him, but this last sex scene went over the top because apparently the shower scene was supposed to be like anticipated, like people were waiting on this thing, and I never heard of it. I haven't even heard it on it. So they got in the they just kind of got in the shower, but there was no shower. Then there was snow. Then they were in the middle of the woods in a wooden bed with the then they were in there.
That was weird. That was really weird because the whole thing with the shower scene in the books, that was the first time they actually had sex together. Oh, and it's like it wasn't planned. You know, Suki was in the shower. Eric just stepped in with her, and they just went at it. I mean, you read the scene in the book, and it's like, okay, I need to put this down for a minute.
Yeah, I'm getting a little heated.
It's really raw. It's really hot. And I think a lot of people were expecting that on the show, and, you know, we kind of didn't get that. We got some V-enhanced dream state or something. It was weird. I wasn't too fond of that thing.
Well, I mean, I guess how a guy would like it, because you got to see like plenty, you know, Suki naked scenes, and it's like, oh my god, girl, that's so uncomfortable. How do you live with it? I can't, you know, but I don't know. It was nice to see Eric's ass a lot. I mean, he has a nice slump.
Yes.
And so it was really, really kind of cool. Oh, speaking of another, what did you think about Alcide?
Oh, yes. I could use a little more naked Alcide. I really could.
Man, when he was starting to take his pants off, girl, I had a dream about him.
Yeah, that was kind of hot.
That was just, ooh. And, wow, we need that. He needs to have his shirt off more.
Yes, he does.
But his sex scene with Debbie was just,
well, because of her little mental block, her little insecurities. But, oh, he's about to, you know, we're about to see the old Debbie Pelt again.
Yeah, because he broke his promise to Debbie that he would not get involved with Sookie. He made a bold-faced promise, and then he went after Sookie. Albeit I'm glad he went because Sookie got shot in the stomach.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's
But
kind of good he's there, but
yeah, we're about to see the old Debbie Peltz again. So it that part of the story is about to get interesting. But yeah, I'll tell you how hot Alcide really is when I see him at Dragon Con in 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. Excuse me.
Ah, yes. I'm definitely getting
You know
that
what?
photo.
If you do not get a photo with him or a photo adjacent to him, we're gonna have a problem, okay?
I'm definitely getting that photo op, and I'm getting the photo op with the cast of Being Human. Those are the
Okay,
only two I
not
care
so
about.
interested in that. I just care about Alcide, and we're gonna have to have a strong talk if I don't get to see you and Alcide. Okay.
Oh, you would definitely see it. The only way I will not get that photo op is if he cancels. I even tried to, I'm going as press again this year for Examiner.
Sweet.
And as press, you get to do 5 interview requests. Well, he was one of the people that I requested to interview, but apparently he is not going to be available for interviews at the convention this year. So
Asshole.
I was a little bit bummed about
Who
that.
else you're
But
getting? Who else you're interviewing, or is that a secret?
you know what? I've sent requests. I requested, there were 5 celebrities I requested, and I got back approvals to contact the agents for 3 of them. The 2 that weren't available for interviews were Alcide, and I can never pronounce his last name correctly, so I'm not even gonna try.
Joe Manninger, blah blah blah. Yeah, that.
And Tom Felton, which I was really disappointed. I'm like, I want to talk to Tom Felton, but okay, he's not available for interviews. So I did request Jim Beaver from Supernatural,
Awesome.
Sarah Canning from Vampire Diaries, who played Aunt Jenna.
Oh, okay, awesome.
And Megan Rapp from Being Human. She's Sally the Ghost.
Okay, cool. That's
So, you
awesome.
know, I basically just, because there's a lot, there's actually, like I said, there's 3 people from Vampire Diaries. I mean, yeah, 3 people from Vampire Diaries, 3 people from Being Human. There's like 6 from Supernatural coming and 4 from True Blood. So I just kind of wanted to spread it out a little bit instead of focusing on just one show, since I write about all of those shows on my blog. I just picked one from each. And with the Being Human, I figured, okay, you know what? Everybody's going to request the guys. Who doesn't request the guys? You know, especially when it's a female. So I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna request a chick because I actually like Sally's character on the show. So
Awesome. That's pretty cool. One more thing about True Blood I wanted to talk about before we could wrap up on it is the Wolf Pack. So we kind of got into what Alcide did, and now, Marcus is they joined Marcus, in his Wolf Pack. They got inundated or whatever you call, and they joined him. But we also found out that Marcus is,
The baby daddy.
yeah, Emma's dad, Luna's ex-husband. And we finally
Yeah.
get to see them in action. Boy, is he crazy.
You know what? But most of the wolf pack that we've seen in the last couple of seasons, they are. It's like Alcide is the only, he's like the pretty boy of the group. Everybody else looks, not trying to be offensive. Everyone else has that white trash or street or, stereotypical.
Let's just go trailer park.
Yeah, they've all looked like that except for Alcide.
Cause
So
he's so
it's just,
yummy. Woo.
yes, he is.
I
But
think maybe Marcus might look good if he cut the hair and quit scowling so much, cause he doesn't have a bad face, but he's just.
no, he doesn't. He's just, I guess it's just the way that they made all the Wolf Pack characters. It's like they're all supposed to look so rough and,
Well, they
whatever.
do
Not
look better than the werepanthers, because they some skanky people.
that's like typical, like that's like bottom of the. I don't know. Trailer park people might get offended by that. That whole stereotype or
Yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the hot shot people are just, I don't know.
Yeah.
They look like
But
they're from Cinderella.
so I really felt bad that Tommy is now a skinwalker, and we found out how skinwalkers are made, that you have to kill a family member, a close family member, and then you have the ability to turn into to more what do you call them? I guess morph into a human. Because,
and
so.
I have to say this. I'm sick of Tommy. Somebody kill him already. I'm so sick of Tommy. And he's just, he does not add anything to the story to me. His character, it's kind of like, I don't know. I just, that character, I'm done.
I think they're getting ready to kill him off because, I mean, you can't kill two people and just get away with it. And his parents, it seemed like the writers are tired with them too, because they killed the parents off in one fell swoop and there was nothing. And it's just like, yeah, we're going to get rid of these characters, kill them off, bam, you're done. And I was really surprised that they did it. It was like really sloppy to me. I would rather them like move to, I don't know, somewhere else, like Canada or something, and never come back than just to see him die like that. But then we wouldn't get the Skinwalker and what Tommy's doing and what he did to Luna. And what he's doing to Miss Fortenberry.
His character is just kind of like one of those. It's like, okay, you know what? You served your purpose. You've shown us a different side to Sam. Can we move on? I guess that's kudos to the actor who plays him, because he plays Tommy really despicably.
Yeah.
So he's doing a great job, but I'm really tired of that character. Like, that character didn't even exist in the book. I don't even need to see him. Just go. Move on to something.
Oh, so he didn't exist in the book. That's why they don't know what to do with him, because it just feels like they don't know what to do with him.
Yeah. In the book, Sam's family consists of his mom, who was a shifter, and then he has a stepdad and the two younger siblings did not know that Sam and mom were shifters until the shifters came out.
Ah.
Just like the vampires did.
Oh. So there is a point in the future where shifters might come out. That's interesting.
We'll see. You know, like I said, they've deviated from the book so much that there's no telling what direction they're going to go in the show. But, you know, several people already know about Sam, so I'm sure it's probably not too far behind. Because up when Andy Belfour mentioned something about it to Sam, I completely forgot that Andy knew that Sam was a shifter.
Oh, yeah. That was because of Marianne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So, Tommy Micken, you know what? You were cool. I'm so over that character.
Call that man a tool.
He served his purpose. I think the whole purpose of the Micken family was to show that Sam had an alternate side, that he had an evil side. Okay, yes, we see this. Let's move on.
Well, I guess we're gonna see
what other trouble he can get into or whatever. But yeah, Tommy's got.
Well, what I think that Marcus and Sam are gonna get into it. Marcus is gonna get killed. And then Alcide is going to be leader of that pack. Or maybe Debbie if she goes crazy.
I'm hoping they stick to what happens with Debbie in the book.
Okay, don't spoil me, but...
That's why I phrased it the way that I did. Alcide becoming Pack Master, that would be kind of interesting, considering, like he said, he doesn't like the whole political side of it.
Yeah, but Marcus had that long conversation with him that was out of place, but really forced, about, you would make a great pack master because you're calm and you don't do, and you're all about doing what's right. And I was like, why are we having this conversation? This conversation means something, and it sounds like that Marcus is a red shirt right now. Like he became a red shirt in that conversation.
Yeah, because, I mean, basically the only way for a person to become pack master is that they have to defeat the current pack master.
Oh. But what if he just dies? What if he just dies?
If he just dies, then I think there's some kind of like...
Inheritance or something?
Yeah, I think there's like a second in command, and then that person can be challenged or something. I don't know. I have to go back and reread. But yeah, I think that the only way, Alcide would be able to become pack master, he would have to fight and defeat Marcus. So
maybe if Debbie goes crazy and she gets all of the pack on her side, and then Marcus wants to go and try to kill Alcide for whatever, then maybe that's how the fight happens.
Yeah, like that's gonna turn out well. Have you seen Alcide?
I've seen
him. That man is all—he's all muscle, and Marcus is—he's not as big.
He's all trailer park.
Yeah, yeah, that battle would not turn out well at all for Marcus. He just
Yeah, so it finally got interest to me to True Blood. I mean, last season to me it was just like crack TV. I couldn't wait for it. This season, I'm not, like you said at the very beginning of this episode, that it was all over the place, but it's starting to warm up. And how many episodes we have left?
I don't know. I think the most recent one was episode 8, I believe. So we'll probably have, I can't remember
four.
How long the summer.
But you know what? You know what though, Hanako? Last year, we knew, because it was that good. We knew exactly how many episodes we had left, how many we had to go, and we were just like, we knew offhand. And if I didn't know, I kind of knew, and you knew all. You knew, period. That's what I'm saying. Something a little off about this season, but whatever.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's still good. It's still entertaining. Yeah. But it's changed.
Yeah.
So, I guess it's kind of like, because season 1 for me as well, it started off slow. And then, like, right towards the middle was when it kind of picked up for me and just kind of kept moving from there. So, I don't know. Maybe this season is kind of like that. But then again, at the same time, it could also be that, you know, with me not having, you know, TV and not watching it when everybody else is watching it and participating in conversations and stuff, that could also have a little bit to do with my disconnect from it. I will be fixing that, because I'm like, okay, you know, just not having to pay a cable bill is nice, but especially the fall shows are about to come back on next month, so I've got to be on top of things.
That's true. But HBO has this app. It's called HBO Go. And I think they may be trying to test making it to where people can just buy HBO from them if they want, and not have a cable package, which would be great, because
that would be lovely.
I'd pay for that. I love their app. On their app as well, I did a True Blood rewatch. So I've recently rewatched season 1 and season 2. And I got to tell you, this show, True Blood, has been very good from the start. I know how we complained about the first 4 episodes, but going back as a person who's seen up to, you know, season 4, this current season, after you've, you know, seen it for a while and you go circle back and you look at it, everything was there from the beginning. I mean, it was spot on, and they knew what they were doing right from the beginning. And I was just astonished to see that. I mean, they had hints for Sookie. They had little words here and there that a hint that are, you know, implicated to today. And so really good show.
Okay. So I may have to go back and revisit the first season. I know I do have a couple of friends who are like, they've never gotten into it, but they want to see what it's like.
Right.
So that'll be interesting. Oh my God, I just saw a spoiler for Supernatural and I'm like tripping.
Oh gosh. Do I want to know this? Is this a big spoiler? Is it a little spoiler?
Casting spoiler.
Casting spoiler.
Yes.
Okay, turn off your iPods right now, people, if you do not want to hear a Supernatural spoiler. And Hanako, go.
Okay. A couple of days ago, they announced that Supernatural was courting Charisma Carpenter to be on the show. Now it looks like James Marsters will also be on Supernatural. I'm like, I'm about
James Marsters and Charisma Carpenter.
I'm about to share this on my Facebook page so you can see it there. But oh yes, you know, and here's the thing. Here's the funny thing. I wasn't a big Buffy fan. I haven't watched most.
Shut
of Buffy.
Your mouth.
That's one of the shows I really need to go back and like watch. But I love Charisma Carpenter. You know, even when she was on Buffy, when she was on Angel, I did see her a couple of episodes there. And then I saw her in person a couple of years at Dragon Con.
Sweet.
When I tell you, this girl is so gorgeous in person. It's like all you want to do is stare at how pretty she is. She's beautiful and she's
But obviously nobody is casting her, and that's driving me nuts. Nobody's casting her and it's driving me nuts. Like, why isn't she on a show?
I don't know. She was in she was in The Expendables.
Right. I saw that movie.
Yeah.
It came
that's
out.
That's the only time I've seen her. I'm like, okay, she needs to be in more.
And she was
stuff.
With Jason Statham, our man.
Yes, right?
Wow.
So yeah, but that's what I'm looking. The blaster.com just posted a article, Supernatural Summons a Buffy Reunion. It says, that's right, folks. Charisma Carpenter and James Marsters will be together again on screen after spending years together at each other's throats. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm excited for this.
I am so happy. Because you know what? Just the other day, I was like, I'm missing Supernatural. I'm really missing that thing
that's going on. Because
I'm listening. I'm actually reading the Dresden Files right now, and James Marsters, he does the voice for it, and the audiobook is what I'm listening to.
Oh, yeah.
And so, oh my gosh, it's just hearing him and hearing the things that goes on in the Dresden Files, it just made me crave Supernatural a lot, so.
Yeah, I'm ready for season 7. I mean, I'm ready.
Gosh, 7 seasons, that's crazy.
I know.
Okay, before we go, I want you to give us like an update on what the hell is going on with Pottermore, because I just lost interest because I couldn't get it. You know, site was always down. So what's up with Pottermore.com?
You know what? I still have not gotten my email to get inside. I'm still waiting on that. But
how is this possible? You're like a patient zero for Harry Potter fandom. That doesn't make any sense.
You know what? I think they did the. I think they're sending the emails out randomly, and not based on when you registered. Because I was one of those people who was up the first night, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, trying to get in. And you know, I actually did get registered, and a couple of my friends have already gotten on the site. They've been sorted. They've gotten their wands. They've gotten their pets, and there actually has been some of the stories that have been released on Pottermore have actually been posted online. So it's like, so far they've revealed how Petunia and Vernon Dursley met and kind of what caused the rift between Petunia and Lily. There's a story on there about the Sorting Hat and how, you know, Hermione and Neville both almost got sent to different houses instead of Pottermore. And there is another story that I saw posted this morning, which I haven't had a chance to read yet, about Professor Quirrell, you know, the professor from the first movie, had, you know, Voldemort on the back of his head. But it talks about, it gives a little story about Professor Quirrell's background and how he found Voldemort. So, you know, the stories that are coming out in the insights from J.K. Rowling, they're very interesting. But yeah, I think everybody is getting a little impatient, you know, as far as getting their email. But you know, I mean, when we all signed up for this, it did say, you know, you may have to wait several weeks for your email. They said for everybody who.
But it's not fair and it doesn't make sense. It's like, what's the point of that? I don't get it. Because now you have all this fraud going on with people selling accounts on eBay and defrauding people or maybe getting people in. And it's like, why? Why would you do it this way? It just seems, I don't get it. Like
I think in some ways that they're doing it to kind of keep down on the site crashing, because I think as of right now, there's like 14,000 active betas that are able to use the site right now. And I'm looking at my Facebook feed. One of my friends just got her email like 45 minutes ago. So I'm thinking people are still getting emails. It's just, you know, I think that first day when they first announced about Pottermore, you know, being a website and, you know, to go on and put your email address so you can find, you know, so you can get the update when it's ready to, you know, to be open. The site crashed in like 5 minutes because I'm sure like probably a couple of million people were trying to get online at the same time. So I think them staggering it out this way is to kind of keep that from happening. Although I do wish they would have done it based on the days that everyone got in, and you know, but I'm sure there's probably not a good way to keep track of, okay, who registered first, who registered second, who registered 10th, who registered, you know, just basically, I think they're probably just going through, okay, these people got in, let's just do it randomly. Because I know some people who registered on the 3rd and 4th days and they've actually already gotten in. So I'm just gonna be patient because I just, you know, I'm like, okay, if Pottermore didn't even exist, I wouldn't even be worried about it. Or I could have been one of those people. Like my daughter, you know, my oldest daughter, the 6th day, I was able to get in and register my younger daughter. when I tried to go in and register my older daughter right after that, the site had already closed. So my oldest daughter didn't even get in for the early testing. So I could be one of those people who would have to actually wait till October. And truth be told, October is not that far away.
Yeah, so it's not. But I put my email address in it too. So, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, because the way I'm looking at it like this, I start school back on Monday, so I'll be doing homework. And I know once I get on Pottermore, like one of my other girlfriends who's about as obsessed as me, she spent 11 hours on Pottermore just going through the website. And I'm like, okay.
Good Lord.
That could be me. So, you know, I'm not going to rush that. I'll just take it when it comes. Although, yes, I would like to know before DragonCon because I need to properly represent my house.
What if you get into Slytherin? Hmm?
You know, that's the second, you're the second person who has said that to me, and I'm like, but you know what? Whatever I get sorted on, at Pottermore, that's what I'll keep as my house because of the fact that J.K. Rowling is the person who wrote the sorting hat test.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, if this is something, you know, if this is what I get sorted based on questions she asked and the way I answer it, then okay, that's what I'll do. But I think I have about a 75% chance that I will end up in Hufflepuff.
I like Hufflepuff because it's such a crazy name. Hufflepuff.
It is, but I mean, a lot of people put Hufflepuff down, but it's like the qualities of Hufflepuff, they're loyal friends, they're hard workers, you know.
They're kind of the leftovers, though.
They're the leftovers, but you know what? They're a really good, you know, they're really good traits to have.
They are.
And a lot of times when I do like online sorting tests, I'm kind of split between Gryffindor and Hufflepuff all the time. So I'm like, okay, I have a feeling I may go Hufflepuff, but yeah, if I go Slytherin, that's just gonna be so.
That's funny.
I mean, I'll take it if that's what I get, but it's just gonna be so weird to identify with that house. So.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, guys, that's our show. We'd love your feedback. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. Go to our website. Leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. Send us a tweet at scifipartyline. Send us a message on facebook.com/scifipartyline there.
Wow.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Holding hands, skipping like a stone.